The federal law that guarantees an education to the nation's 6.5 million students with disabilities is up for renewal. This year, a major part of the debate in Congress is focusing on discipline. School administrators say the current system forces them to spend huge amounts of time and money trying to remove dangerous students from the classroom. They want more control. Many parents of disabled students fear the changes will simply make it easier to kick those children out of school. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
There are many qualities a modern teacher needs to get through the day, an even temperament, a sense of humor, lots of energy, and the ability to extract your arm from the mouth of an angry student.
Lean into the bite and use a vibrating motion above the upper lip to get the jaws of the person to open. The vibrating motion causes a parasympathetic response. Staff should use the minimum amount of force necessary to effect the release of the bite.
Linda Ann Ward is teaching this and other handy self-defense techniques to a dozen or so teachers from the McCracken County Schools in Western Kentucky. Ward is small. She has to stand on tiptoe to reach 5 feet. But what she lacks in size, she makes up for in energy and in experience, outmaneuvering what she calls AOPs, acting out persons.
What we're going to do is practicing what to do if it's a punch. Okay? And you're still going to keep a visual image because people punch in different places and in different ways.
Ward has done teacher training and special education for years. That's given her a lifetime of experience in the real school of hard knocks.
I've been thrown out a window, second story window. I yelled "Superwoman" as I was flying out. Been pushed in front of a school bus. Had a chunk of my arm bitten. In every incident, it was a child with severe emotional problems.
So in none of those cases did you think, this was over the top, this kid's got to go?
No. I wouldn't be in education if I thought that way.
Despite her resume of professional bruises, Ward says usually it's wrong to throw kids out of the regular school. She says existing federal standards protect students who can't help themselves.
I don't believe in throwing them away or pushing them aside. I'm not saying expulsion's never the answer. I just personally think it's seldom the answer.
Ward clearly loves the challenge of working with kids who act out, figuring out ways to keep them in the regular classroom, but school administrators feel otherwise, and they're pushing Congress to set clearer limits so students can be removed for bad behavior. Gayden Carruth is superintendent of the Park Hill School District in Kansas City, where she's also seen her share of mayhem. She remembers one incident.
The teacher was hit in the face with a book that was thrown across the room. It left the teacher with contusions and abrasions on her face and an absolutely terrified classroom.
Now, if that student had been in regular education, he would have been removed pretty quickly. But because he was disabled, he enjoyed special protections under federal law, protections that Carruth says are simply unfair. When disabled kids act out, schools have to convene a committee that asks this question: was the bad behavior a result of the disability or not?
It was determined it was related to his disability, and therefore we could not administer any additional discipline.
And Carruth says that needs to change. Schools need the ability to remove kids who are clearly dangerous. Right now, they can do that only if they can prove that the student deliberately disobeyed the rules, that the behavior was not a result of the disability. Then, and only then, can the student be removed from the school and put in, say, a special school.
You could have two students doing the same thing, one of whom is long-term suspended, the other receives no further discipline. We want them to be successful. That also has to be balanced with other students in our classrooms feeling safe and teachers not being assaulted.
Those arguments persuaded the House to pass legislation earlier this year that would give administrators a stronger hand. Parents who fought to get those protections are worried they will slip away just 6 years after they were introduced. Sue Pratt, a parent in Grand Rapids, Michigan, became a disabilities advocate because she saw how her autistic son was being treated.
Daniel is known as the kid with the worst behaviors in Grand Rapids public schools.
Daniel went to school before the special procedures for disabled kids were introduced in 1997. Sue Pratt says the school repeatedly removed Daniel from the classroom. She says that taught him one thing: to keep acting out.
You don't learn the correct behaviors when you're in a separate facility. You have to be in the setting in which you need to have those behaviors in order to learn to use them. It's kind of like taking young children and teaching them how to behave in a restaurant. If you never take them out to eat, they won't learn how to behave.
Pratt says that the federal protections now in place force the school to try harder to develop strategies that would help her son cope in the classroom.
What it does is it makes people come to the table because they are forced to deal with this and come up with some solutions, not an easy solution by kicking the kid out of school.
But school systems say the current system has instead created a litigation nightmare for them. Nancy Krent represents over 100 Illinois school districts. She says administrators are not looking for an easy way out.
It's much more expensive to remove a student and put him into a specialized school. Those schools cost more. So I think that some of these fears that somehow all disabled students or many disabled students are going to be shunted off to more restrictive environments is not likely to happen.
Or a person says a threat, it may not be a student, you may have a wonderful parent moment, a colleague. Do they actually have the intent, or are they venting? How can you tell?
Teachers like Linda Ann Ward of the McCracken County Schools say they'll probably have to work just as hard either way. So Ward says she'll continue focusing on ways to avoid the confrontations that can lead to long, drawn-out disciplinary proceedings.
Here's an example. You have a severely autistic child, and they say something like, gonna hit you. They're echoing it for someone else. Do they really have the ability to carry it through? Probably not. Don't overreact. Don't underreact. Do they have the means? Do they actually have a way of carrying out that plan?
No matter what Congress decides to do, Ward hopes that schools won't decide to give up on the most challenging children. Larry Abramson, NPR News.